just puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Gordon Goldsborough joins us now for Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we discussing this week?
Well, we hearken back to last week when we talked about an unusual restaurant in Winnipeg called Prairie 360. Unfortunately, it closed in 2021, but that got me thinking about other memorable restaurants of the past. So I encouraged our listeners to let me know about ones they remembered so we could discuss some of them here today.
And did you get any suggestions?
Oh, did I ever. Many more than we can discuss this morning. I think this is going to be a theme that we'll revisit in future conversations. So keep those suggestions coming. Any restaurant that you remember from your past that's no longer around, send them to me. An example that I heard from, listener Nathan, he remembered the Venice House restaurant on Marion here in Winnipeg. And he wrote to me and he said, quote, "It burnt down a couple decades ago. My parents would take us there and we'd get the booth in the huge wooden barrel. I remember that barrel." Anyway, he said, "Great photos and memories of birthday pizza parties with my family and cousins. Their special pizza always had a small shrimp placed at the center." And I remember that shrimp too. Now, Nathan's recollection of Venice House sparked a distant memory for me. In the early 1970s, my parents would take us out for Sunday lunch at a place called Angelo's Pizza House on Cordon Avenue. And that was our first experience with pizza. And wow, did we ever look forward to those lunches. And speaking of food that stirs fond memories, one that I mentioned at the end of last week's episode ties into another suggestion from a listener.
And what was that?
Well, Robert suggested a restaurant on Portage Avenue called the Gasthaus Gutenberger. It was legendary for its German cuisine, especially the all-you-can-eat lunch buffets on Thursdays and Fridays and Sunday brunch. Listeners may recall that last week I mentioned Kurt's Schnitzel House, a place that I patronized several times in the 1990s when I lived in Brandon. And really, who doesn't like a good schnitzel? You know, Kurt made excellent ones. They were really pretty good. The story behind the Schnitzel House is that its proprietor, Kurt Wagner, came to Manitoba in 1979 as a member of the German army. You know, they trained at CFB Shiloh for a number of years. Kurt was a master chef, and after completing his tour of duty in 1982, he came back to Manitoba and he opened that restaurant in Wauwanisa. And if anybody doesn't know, that's a town situated just south of Shiloh. It became a huge hit, not just locally, but throughout western Manitoba. People came from far and wide to Kurt's Schnitzel House, and everybody loved his schnitzel. In 1995, well, the restaurant was sold, and Kurt moved to Winnipeg, where he opened the Gasthaus Gutenberger, named for his grandmother's maiden name. Unfortunately, well, he sold the restaurant in 2012, but he sold it to his head chef who knew all the recipes and that carried on until 2016 when the restaurant closed. And yes, there are other places you can find a good schnitzel, but I do miss the ones that Kurt served. They were so yummy.
Maybe a moment of silence for that memory. I recall you mentioned last week a restaurant in Brandon. Isn't that right?
Right. I refer to Kokono's, a restaurant and lounge that opened in 1974 in the basement of Brandon's tallest building, the Scotia Towers on Rosser Avenue. It was run by two Greek immigrants, brothers Albert and Mario Kokono's. They went their separate ways in early 1980s, and Kokono's closed in early 2003. But the following year, 2004, Albert moved to the North Hill and opened Albert's Bistro. And it's still in operation today. I've eaten at Albert's several times, and I can attest, this is not a commercial plug. I get nothing from this, but it's one of the best places to eat in Brandon.
What is another former restaurant?
Well, another one of the maybe the more notorious restaurants, at least when it opened in 1952, was The Paddock. It was located on the south side of Portage Avenue near Polo Park, which at that time was not a shopping mall, in case people were wondering, but it was a horse racing track. The Paddock was opened by a guy named Stanley Zed, and he was widely known at the time as the kingpin of illegal gambling in Winnipeg. So I don't know. Maybe Mr. Zed wanted to go legit by opening a restaurant, and his restaurant, The Paddock, featured decor and memorabilia that riffed on that horse racing theme from the nearby track. Well, of course, the name itself also the same thing. It had classic comfort foods, things like fried chicken, spare ribs, steaks, and spaghetti. You know, really a wide range of things. But the Paddock closed in 1985, and the building was demolished in 1988. The site now, well, it's still occupied by restaurants, two of them, Olive Garden and Red Lobster. To me, though, the Paddock was symbolic of the kind of kitschy restaurant experience that I tend to associate with the 1950s and 60s. You know, in that same nostalgic realm, I think we have to mention also the Beachcomber.
Kitschy in what way?
Well, when I think of the Beachcomber, I picture things like tiki torches and grass skirts. You know, when it opened in 1961, the Beachcomber featured a menu with Polynesian and Asian-inspired foods and beverages. It was a true slice of what we might call mid-century escapism. You know, you could feel like you were actually going to the South Pacific when you went to the Beachcomber. You know, it was a restaurant and lounge. It was tucked inside the Carlton Motor Hotel, just over a little ways from the studio here on Carlton Street. Listener Shauna remembers traveling solo by herself to Winnipeg from Brandon on a Greyhound bus. You know, that in itself is hard to imagine happening today, parents putting their kids on a bus. And when she arrived, her aunts would take her to the Beachcomber. But before she could go, she had to practice eating Rice Krispies with chopsticks. I guess, you know, to get that technique down, right? Well, the Carlton Motor Hotel was demolished in 2014 to make way for redevelopment of the site, although I just drove by the other day and it just seems to have stalled. The site is still mostly empty. Now, at the opposite end of the kitsch spectrum was a restaurant known for its fine dining and, well, frankly, high prices too. That was the Restaurant Dubrovnik, located in a stately two-story house on Assiniboine Avenue.
So it was a restaurant in a house?
Right. You know, and as far as my research has been able to determine, the house was built in 1904 for lawyer Isaac Pitblato. In fact, his name is still perpetuated in a Winnipeg law firm. That house changed hands many times through the next six decades. And in 1975, it was purchased by Croatia-born Milan Bodaroga, who is the maitre d' of the Hotel Fort Garry. He was looking for a challenge, and he thought that a restaurant that served European foods in an elegant atmosphere would succeed. Well, just as he was planning to open, he was offered triple what he had paid for the house by developers. They wanted to tear it down and put another building in its place. Well, he declined, and Dubrovnik opened in 1976 to widespread acclaim. Restaurant reviewer Marion Warhaft, I mentioned her last week, she reviewed restaurants all over the place, and she wasn't shy about calling out bad service or food whenever she encountered it. But she rhapsodized about Dubrovnik. It became, I think, the best restaurant in the province. So much so that its patrons included people like Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Zsa Zsa Gabor, and even Queen Elizabeth. Listener Elizabeth remembers, quote, "The waiters were always perfect. Almost every time we ate there, we would be offered some appetizer or dessert that they were testing, free of charge," unquote. Well, unfortunately, all good things must end eventually, and the end for Dubrovnik came in 2012. The following year, 2013, those developers finally had their way, and they tore down the house and built a high-rise apartment block.
So Dubrovnik's was a very fancy restaurant. Were there any unfancy restaurants on your list?
Oh, yeah. No, in my book, memorable doesn't necessarily mean fancy. And I think a great example of a restaurant that opened way back in 1932 was by Greek immigrant Christomas Kalekis. And it became legendary for its hot dogs, its hamburgers, its fries, and, well, it's just its atmosphere. For many decades, people will remember it was operated by the feisty Mary Kalekis, one of the six daughters of that original proprietor. Unfortunately, Kalekis closed in 2013. But speaking of memorable, I would be remiss if I didn't make passing mention of the many restaurants that were opened through the years by the legendary Oscar Grubert. You know, if you went to a restaurant in Winnipeg anytime in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, you would have gone to one of Grubert's many restaurants. And we'll discuss some of them in the future, but there just simply isn't time for them today.
Yet another episode of Abandoned Manitoba, where I'm left feeling rather peckish. Thank you for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, 2 years ago, I bought an old photo album online from a dealer in Michigan, mainly because its cover had a photo of grain elevators. Of course, I'm a passionate fan of those. These grain elevators were in the southwestern town of Waskata. When the album arrived in the mail, I went down a deep rabbit hole trying to learn as much as I could about who had compiled the album and when. So I'm going to share the story of that old album next week.
Thank you, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.